70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Now, from this text, I want to talk on this Mother's Day about the man with two mothers.
All right.
The man with two mothers.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God, our Father, we thank you now for another preaching privilege. We ask now that you grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and then that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise. It's in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to our associates in the person of Reverend Coleman, our minister of music, to all who are present. As always, God is good. Thank you, Ashes, and his mercy endures forever. And so for a little while, I want to talk about, from the subject, the man with two mothers. And so let me begin by saying that Mother's Day is a bittersweet day.
Yes, sir.
In the minds of many, there is no one in the world like their mother. Yes. Because for most, mom is a very special person. Yes. Others, however, have memories of mother that are not that special. Perhaps the relationship was strained for some reason or the other, and for some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one.
Right.
For some, biological motherhood isn't possible. Then for some mothers, weren't all that nice. While others, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still less than a bed of roses and a primrose path. As someone once said, to become a mother is not so difficult, while on the other hand, being a mother is very much so. And so sad to say, we have to be careful as we approach the topic of motherhood, because not all mothers deserve to be elevated to a special honor, but some do. However, real mothers are special people. Real mothers sometimes ask why me and get the answer when a little voice replies, because I love you best. Real mothers are an integral part of our lives. We wouldn't be who we are without our mothers, nor would we be here at all. And my brothers and sisters, some of the greatest people in history will tell you how important their mothers were to their lives. It is said that George Washington once said, for example, he said, all I am, I owe to my mother. And so in the text, we note that this is also true of one of the greatest men in Old Testament history, a man by the name of Moses. Moses became the kind of man that he was because of the type of mothers he had. In fact, who he was very much determined by the type of mothers he had, because God gave him two mothers. And so both of the women who fulfilled the maternal role in the life of Moses made certain choices in regards to Moses that impacted the course of his life, because their choices made Moses the man that he became. As the old saying goes, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Was absolutely true in the life of Moses. So let's examine the choices made by the mothers of Moses, because I believe that their choices have much to teach us about love, about life, and about the legacy we leave our children. And so with your prayers on this Mother's Day, I want to preach for a little while from the subject of man with two mothers. And in so doing, allow me to point out the choices these women made in the life of Moses. Well, first, they chose to give Moses life. And so first we note and consider the choice of Jochebed, Moses' birth mother. note the context of our text, and Exodus 1, 7 through 22 reveals that Moses was born into a culture of death, because according to Pharaoh, Moses should have been killed as soon as he was born. But all my brothers and sisters, just imagine the pregnancy, the waiting, the expectancy, the wondering whether the baby would be a boy or a girl, because there were no ultrasounds in that day to discover the sex of the baby. But she had to wait until she gave birth. And so when she did, she gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. And in her eyes, he was perfect, and she refused to kill him, but she chose life and hid her son. My brothers and sisters, Moses' birth mother, choice is also recorded in the New Testament in Hebrews 11:23, that said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And so we note in verse 2 through 4 in our text that Amram and Jochebed hid the growing baby for as long as they could, because the others knew that she had been expected. So how could she explain the fact that she was no longer pregnant? How could she explain a pregnancy that had gone on that long? But even more, how could she keep the existence of a growing, rambunctious baby boy from getting out? And my brothers and sisters, her faith in God would not allow her to murder her son. Her faith in God was so great that she was willing to trust God with his with the life of her son, because she couldn't kill the baby, nor could she secure his life. And so she made a basket of reeds and applied pitch to it that it wouldn't leak, and put the baby in it and set it adrift on the providence of God, while the baby's older sister stayed nearby to make sure nothing happened to the child. Here was a mother who chose life for her child. Now, it would have been easier for her to take his life, because death for the baby Hebrew boys was the law of the land. And so she could have destroyed her young son, but she chose to give him life. But then let's consider the choice of Moses' other mother, Pharaoh's daughter, the princess. And note verse 5 and 6 reveals that the daughter of Pharaoh come down to the river to bathe, and she sees the floating ark and send her servant to investigate. And then they bring to her the basket, and in it was a crying baby boy. And because he was circumcised, she recognized that it was a Hebrew baby, and immediately understood that his mother had chosen life over death for her child. And so we are told that she had compassion on him. In other words, she had pity on the baby, and it was in that instant that this princess chose to make a choice. She could have, she could obey the decree of her father and have the child killed. After all, it would have been easy. All she had to do was just tell this, one of her servants to turn the little ark over and let the baby drown. Are you with me? But the princess chose life. She chose life for Moses because of her compassion and because her pity upon him. And my brothers and sisters, here was a princess, a pagan princess born into a culture of death, who chose life for a child who should have been killed. But let's face the facts today. A lot of people today, we live in a culture of death also. Because my brothers and sisters, one of the safest places for a child should be in the mother's womb. But now we have abortion. Many times folk choose abortion rather than to have their child. And my brothers and sisters, this happens all over. And we need to pray, amen, that the Lord would touch the hearts of the doctors and touch the heart of those who are pro-life, who want to encourage abortion, because we don't know who's getting ready to come into the world.
That's right. That's right.
Can you imagine the shame that perhaps Mary had when she wasn't married and had a child? Just suppose she would have tried to abort Jesus. Just think of how bad things would be. But I want to say to us that to all those mothers who decided that they were going to go ahead on and have their child in spite of the circumstances, I honor you, I praise you, and I thank God for you. But I also want to say to those mothers who perhaps did have an abortion, I want to say to you that God loves you and he cares about you. And yes, the choice to end the life of your child was a sin, but it's a sin that can be forgiven. So bring it to God and allow him to cleanse your heart and soothe the pain that you feel for what you've done. And so for Moses' two mothers, death would have been easier, but both women chose to give Moses life. But not only did they choose to give Moses life, but secondly, they chose to give Moses love. Note, if you will, that both women God placed in the life of Moses loved him more than they loved him themselves. His birth mother risked her life to save his life. His adoptive Egyptian mother risked the wrath of her father, the Pharaoh, to save his life. Why did she do this? The only answer is they loved Moses more than they loved themselves. Now, Jochebed loved Moses because he was a son, and her body gave him life and nourished him as he grew, according to verse 7 through 9. Her love for Moses allowed Moses to fulfill the greatest earthly destiny ever designed for any Hebrew. Moses' mother loved him so much that she risked everything to save him. And he was able to lead his people out of Egyptian slavery, destroy the armies and the power of Egypt without lifting a single sword or firing a single arrow. Her love allowed him to fulfill his God-given destiny to be the savior of his people. Pharaoh's daughter loved Moses because God put it in her heart. Because there's no other reason that this pagan daughter of Pharaoh would adopt the son of a Hebrew slave. Her heart was moved by the plight of this helpless child, and she took him as her own son. And she names him Moses. You know, the text says the word Moses means drawn out, referring to the fact that he was drawn out of the Nile River. However, this name also is providential because Moses was drawn out so that he might draw out. In other words, my brothers and sisters, it's hard to escape the irony of this situation because Pharaoh had to pay for the upkeep of a child that he ordered to be murdered. And again, this is the providence of God. Why is this? Because we serve a God who is in charge of all things. He's in control of every event in life to accomplish his purpose in the world. And that's why the psalmist declared in Psalm 135 and 6, whatsoever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth. And so God put love for this child into the heart of two vastly different women. He spared Moses from certain death because he had a plan for his life. He would have used Moses in a tremendous way. And yet there's another reason that God spared Moses' life. It was because God loved this child and worked in his heart and the lives of others, causing them to love him also. And so, my brothers and sisters, if you were born into a family where you receive love, you should rejoice and praise God. If you've been loved, you have been blessed. For instance, somebody once said concerning a mother, he said, the love of the mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures all things, in good repute and bad repute. In the face of the world's condemnation, a mother's love still lives on. Thank God for mothers who love their children. Thank God for mothers and parents who love their children, because genuine parental love is a window into the very heart of God. And so the two mothers of Moses gave him their love. They chose to give him life, and they chose to give him love. Well, finally, they chose to give Moses leadership. Here we see that both mothers, God gave Moses, invested themselves into his life. His Egyptian mother gave him the best that Egypt had to offer. We know that in Acts 7, 21 through 22, it says Pharaoh's daughter raised Moses as her own son. And Moses was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds, meaning she gave him the best education available. And then it's also possible that Moses, by virtue of being adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, he was in line for the throne. Thus, he was trained as a prince in Egypt, meaning he was trained for leadership, and that training would serve him well in later years. But now his birth mother gave him something his adoptive mother couldn't give him. His real mother introduced Moses to the God of Israel. But let me put a pin here, because so many mothers today will do all they can to give their children, a child or children, a good education, encourage them to give their best, and that's good in and of itself. Also, they encourage them to participate in all the extracurricular activities, and then they support them in all of their ways. And nothing wrong with that. But the bad thing is, some fail to do the most important thing that will keep them not only in this life, but also the life to come, and that is to introduce their child to Christ. Encourage them to participate in church activities and be there with them as an example. Yeah, they may become successful in this world, but Jesus asked the question in Matthew 16 and 26. He said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Simply put, what will you gain if you own the whole world but destroy yourself? What will you give to get back your soul? My brothers and sisters, a mother with genuine love would not only prepare her child for this world, but she would prepare him for the world to come. And so Moses' real mother introduced him to the God of Israel and told him about a true and a living God. She would have warned him about the false gods and the false religions of Egypt. She would have told him about the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She no doubt told him about the reason the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. She would have told him about the promise of God to deliver his people from bondage someday. She would no doubt instill within him a love and respect for the God of his fathers. Because of this, her lesson took root in the heart of Moses. How do we know this? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 24 through 27, it says, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and esteeming the reproach of Christ riches greater than the treasures of Egypt. And by faith he forsook, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so by the time he was grown, Moses understood that God would use him to deliver his people Israel from the slavery of Egypt, according to Acts 7, 24 through 29. But my brothers and sisters, the lessons Moses learned from his mother set the very course of his life. Thus it is with the children that we have been given the same responsibility to raise. We need to give them something that all the universities, schools, and extracurricular activities of the world cannot give. We need to give them knowledge of God. Even if they leave home and they are unable to balance their checkbook, but with the understanding of God, Yes, Lord, and who Christ is, they're still far ahead of the smartest of their peers. If they leave home not knowing how to dance, how to play ball, how to conjugate a verb, solve long division problems, multiply fractions, if they leave knowing that the Bible is the word of God, and that Jesus is a friend of sinners, and that God loves them, they're far, far better off than their peers who know nothing about the Lord. Yeah, when I try to move to the close, what I'm saying is this. In a culture in which we live, parents want their children to have more than they did. We want them to have a better education, a better home, a better life, and that's all right. But above all, what we should want more than anything is that they have a deep, personal, abiding relationship with God. And therefore, we should do everything in our power to cultivate the love of God in our children's heart. We should pray for them, and we should pray with them and pray for them. We should also read the Bible with them and read it to them. We should take them to church faithfully and not send them, but we ought to be an example by coming along with them. We should see to it that they are involved in the programs of the church. We should see to it that our personal walk matches our profession of faith, meaning we should be real in front of our children. But in closing, more than anything, we should give our children Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the only hope of salvation. We should give them to understand that there is no other way that they can be saved other than through Jesus Christ, who one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, He hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. He stayed there 3 days and three nights. But bright early Sunday morning, He got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in His hands. And He showed Himself alive for some 40 days. And then He caught a cloud and He went back to glory. Now He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God, and He's making intercessions for you and me. But one of these old days, He's coming back again. But He's not coming back to save, but He's coming back to receive those who are already saved. And no man know the day or the hour that the Lord will make His return. But when He come back, He's coming back for His church. Well, let me ask you this morning, are you ready for the Lord's return? Do you know Him this morning? Have you tried Him for yourself? Won't He make a way out of no way? Yes, Lord. Won't He save your soul? Yes, Lord, to the utmost. I tell you, parents, it'll be a sad thing to know that your child didn't make it in. You ought to do all you can. You can't make them do anything. Just be a good example. Just pray for them. I tell you, the Bible say train up a child in the way that they should go. Now they may depart. I departed one time, but I had something in me and something that drew me back to the Lord. But if there's nothing in them, it's hard for the Lord to get their hearts. Don't worry how hard it may be. Sometime it looked like our child will never come to themselves. But just keep on praying and give it unto the Lord. Because only the Lord can save anybody. Only the Spirit can convict and draw anybody unto the Lord. So just pray on, fight on, walk on, and everything gonna be all right. Just think about the prodigal son. He went down as low as he could go. He was in a pig pen. Think about it. No Jew would have anything to do with a pig. As the old blues singer sang, he was so low he could sit on a dime and swing his legs. But in that, yes, pig pen, he came to himself and he said, wait a minute, I don't have no reason to be down here. My father got servants living better than me. And so he got up and said, I'm gonna go back home unto my father. But isn't it good to know that the Father that represents God, he's always waiting with open arms, ready to receive us back, because the Father loves us in spite of ourselves. I heard Dominique saying, yes, Lord, he thought I was worthy. Yeah, he thought I was worth saving. Yes, Lord, even when I was low down, even when I wasn't worth anything, God saw something in me. He thought I was worth saving. Yeah, Lord, he thought I was just lifted up. Yeah, Lord, I tell you, nobody is too messed up that the Lord can't wash up. Nobody is too far out that the Lord can't bring in. Too low down that he can't lift up. Too dirty that he can't wash you and make you clean. I know he's all right. Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. Yes. Yeah. Moses had two mothers. And it's because of what they invested in his life, it made him become the man that he would be, the man who would lead his people out of Egyptian slavery. Some of us don't have but one mother. Most of us have one mother. And if you have a child, give it your best. Pray for them. You know, I found out that prayer can go where we can't go. Prayer can go where you can't go. Because I know when I was running wild, see a lot of y'all didn't know, I was running wild. But somebody was praying. My mother was praying for me. And one day I came to myself. Never thought I'd be standing here in Leesville in the Mount Olive Baptist Church preaching to you. God has a way of turning things around. He has a way of turning our lives around. And you know, he likes to take the worst of us. I'm trying to hush, but he likes to take the worst of us and demonstrate his power, how he can lift you up and how he can use you. Amen. And every one of us have a purpose. You didn't come in the world just to be in here. You got a purpose. Some of them haven't gotten to it yet, but you got a purpose.
Amen.
And God loves you in spite of yourself.
Yes, sir.
I keep hearing that. You thought I was worth saving? Yes, Lord. He thought that so much and his love so much that he died for you.
Yes.
How many of y'all know Jesus didn't die for himself?
Amen.
He died for us.
Yes, sir.
And when she was singing that I could just see grace. He looks beyond all our faults.
Yes.
And what do you see I need?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. God bless you.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time. We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right.